having a stable, safe place to live mitigates physical conditions like heart conditions that may be caused by stress. Certainly, if you're able to live in a place with clean air and not be limited because of your income to pollution area or an area with high toxins in the environment, or that you're able to live in a place that doesn't have a lot of lead, that needs lead abatement. All those things have physical health outcomes to them. Asthma, heart disease, lung disease. And then on the behavioral health side, on the mental health side, just having the stability of a place to live doesn't cause stress. It frees up a family or an individual to be able to focus on the other things they need to do or want to do in order to have their family thrive. So that connection of housing and health is real and exists for all of us.
The Health Equity Advocacy Cohort, which is funded by the Colorado Trust, has been researching the current state of housing, health, and equity in Colorado and seven key populations in the state. In the next few weeks, they plan to publicly release their report, and I asked Emily Johnson, Director of Policy Analysis at the Colorado Health Institute, which has been working with the cohort on the project, to share some of the findings.
The first thing that's important to note is that housing insecurity sort of dives into a lot of different areas. So it's not just about affordability, it's also about accessibility. You know, can you get to things in your home? Can you get places in your community? It's about safety, whether your community is safe. But I do think that some of the most interesting statistics are probably around that housing cost burden. Housing cost burden is defined as a household that spends at least 30% of their income on housing. And we see that Colorado has the second highest rate of housing cost burden of all of the non-coastal states after Nevada. And I think that's something that we have felt a lot as residents of Colorado. We know that Colorado home prices have grown by 77% in the past 10 years, while income has grown by just 4.5%. And so I think that for me was a really standout statistic that spoke to what housing is currently looking like in Colorado. Another statistic is that homelessness is the most extreme consequence of housing instability in Colorado, and life expectancy among chronically homeless populations is 30 years shorter than it is among populations with stable housing, meaning that it's an average of about just 47 years.
So what are some of the reasons why housing inequity and housing and health-related inequities exist? Again, here's CEO of the Colorado Health Foundation, Karen McNeil Miller.
So in this country and in Colorado, as well, historical things that happened that segregated people into better areas to live, better ability to get loans, better ability to have economic opportunity, greater ability to build wealth through home ownership. And those were things that were outside of the control of the actual individual. So they were not given an equitable chance to reach the same success level as far as building wealth with purchasing a home or even having the kind of income that they could have in order to live in the place of their choice. And so what we want to have is a community or a state where everyone has the opportunity and the ability to live wherever they want, as opposed to some being able to live wherever they want and some being forced to or limited to certain places that they can live.
I also asked McNeil Miller what solutions she's seeing to this issue.
There are all kinds of levels to this complex problem. So for some smaller communities, particularly rural communities in Colorado, having money come through county government or city government to help build affordable housing for its public servants, like teachers, like law enforcement, firefighters, those folks who are providing a great public service that none of us can live without, if they're on the lower end of the earning power, and they may live in the communities where in order to rent, they may be spending over 40% or half of their income. So it's hard to remain in a place where that's how much you have to spend to have a home. So you may then move somewhere else. And so some communities are using affordable housing for public servants as a recruitment and retention strategy. There's also, here in Colorado, we've got lots of resort communities where the people who the resorts rely on to be employees can't afford to live in those communities. So also there are resort communities that are investing in building affordable housing for their seasonal workers or their full-time employees, their year-long employees. Also, other communities can, in their zoning requirements, they can zone and create mixed-use communities and mixed-income communities. So we don't warehouse all the poor people together, or we don't segregate people by race or segregate them by economics. There are other states or cities that will put in ordinances that say any new development of X number of units of apartments or housing has to have a certain percentage, let's say 30%, has to be affordable units or available to folks who are 80% or below of AMI, the adjusted median income. So those are just a few examples of some of the tactics that people are using